Let us pray. Amazing Lord, we give thanks to you for this new day in which we can feel your presence. Lord, we're here this morning, willing to listen to your word and to be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come. Put seeds of love in our hearts, so that it's only love what lives in us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Kraft caramel, my favorite candy. And Hello Kitty and My Melody, my favorite characters growing up. Whenever my family or my friends travel outside of Colombia, they always ask me if there was something special that they could bring me from their trip abroad. And this was a huge deal because back in the 80s, when I was just a baby, we didn't have the opportunity to get things from outside of Colombia easy. So I will get so excited to get that list going, and I will put everything on it because I really wanted this and this and this, so the long list. So that longing for more started early. And even though I had many good things made in Colombia, I really wanted something else, something out of reach. Have you experienced this? I am sure I'm the only one in here who have experienced this, right? Nobody else? Yeah, I have one in the back. Thank you, Stefan. Only one, wow. The hunger for more never really leaves us. It just changes shape when we grow up. This ambition, this constant need to acquire things like status, position, material things, material wealth, puts us on a treadmill that might never stop. Today is our second Sunday in our sermon series, Taking Steps. And our hope is that this series encourages you to take steps so that you can develop a deep relationship with Christ, and that you can, by those steps too, can love deeply your neighbor. Each week, we are making commitments in different areas of our lives so that we can be moving towards that goal. Last Sunday, we focused on how our worship to God is really, really important, so that we develop through that worship this incredible understanding of who God is in our lives. And today we will focus on our spiritual growth. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul, whose birth name was Saul. At an early point in his life, he pursued position, status. He was a Pharisee, which means he was a leader, a spiritual leader, a part of the Sanhedrin, and he was focused always in following the religious laws by the point, even at any cost. He saw Christianity as a threat to Judaism. So he persecuted Christians until one day, the day that he met Jesus in his way to Damascus. That day, Jesus made him to realize that he was on the wrong path. Wow. Being legalistic was dangerous, because following those 600 plus rules that Judaism has was getting Paul the opposite of what that laws were intended for, which was loving God. Loving God with all of our souls and loving our neighbor is possible through the example and the grace that we find in the person of Jesus, not through religious performance or checking boxes. Paul says, I had it all. The perfect resume, the right birth, the best training, and the most zealous devotion. But then he says something radical. I considered it all trash compared to knowing Christ. Wow. Paul doesn't just say this casually. His experience has deeply marked his journey of faith. The scripture we are reading today was written when he was in prison, suffering persecution because of his faith in Christ. He is writing to a church that he has planted and he really loves, the church in Philippi. He's warning them not to fall into the same trap he once did, putting confidence on outward religion instead of Christ. So this is what Paul writes to them. Watch out for the dogs. Watch out for people who do evil things. Watch out for those who insist on circumcision, which is really mutilation. We are the circumcision. We are the ones who serve by God's Spirit and who boast in Christ Jesus. We don't put our confidence in rituals performed on the body, though I have good reason to have this kind of confidence. If anyone else has reason to put their confidence in physical advantages, I have even more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. With respect to observing the law, I am a Pharisee. With respect to devotion to the faith, I harass the church. With respect to the righteousness under the law, I'm blameless. These things were my assets, but I wrote them off as a loss for the sake of Christ. But even beyond that, I considered everything a loss in comparison with the superior value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have lost everything for him, but what I lost, I think of as sewer trash, so that I might gain Christ and be found in him. In Christ, I have a righteousness that is not my own and that doesn't come from the law, but rather from the faithfulness of Christ. It is the righteousness of God that is based on faith. The righteousness that I have comes from knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the participation in his sufferings. It includes being conformed to his death so that I may perhaps reach the goal of the resurrection of the dead. It is not that I have already reached this goal or I have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Paul is telling them, Christ is all you need. God's grace is sufficient. Keep on going. Don't look back. I am here in prison, suffering for the sake of the gospel. And even in this suffering, I continue to have faith in Christ. He is the source of my strength. And nothing can compare to Christ. Paul is saying that even good things, when they become the source of our worth, they leave us spiritually empty. This week, a friend of mine we were talking about her sermon and my sermon, and she said, you know what? That made me think about this phrase that I heard a long time ago from this theologian called Tim Keller. And I think that phrase illustrates very well the point that Paul is trying to make here. When we turn good things into ultimate things, when we make them our greatest consolations and loves, they will necessarily disappoint us bitterly. The moment Paul encountered Jesus was an awakening for him. When he least expected it, he stopped chasing status and started chasing Christ. Sometimes we think we're doing the right thing by going to church, by praying the prayers, by checking all the boxes. But we still feel far from God. That is what legalism does. It makes us performers, not followers. It tends to leave us more tired than transformed, more doubting than devoted. What we really need is that personal encounter with God. As a teenager, I was going to church twice a week. Can you believe that? A teenager, twice a week, going to church? During the week, I needed to go because I went to a Catholic school, so it was a check on the box on Tuesdays. And then on Sundays, I will go with my family. So I was doing the right things, just like Paul. But I wasn't encountering really the love of Christ in my life. I was spiritually dry. What I needed wasn't another rule to follow or another prayer to pray. I only needed to let Jesus be my guide. Paul gave us that understanding. He guided us to understand what a spiritual transformation really is when he says this. We are the circumcision. We are the ones who serve by God's Spirit and who boasts in Christ Jesus. We don't put our confidence in rituals performed. Paul is echoing the same theme that the prophet Jeremiah is telling the people of Judah when he says to them that they need to go away from idolatry, from injustice, from disobedience. Even though they continue to do all those things, he continually tells them that they needed to change. Humanity has struggled with that problem over and over, but the grace of God has been present all the time. The words that the prophet Jeremiah says from God to those people in Judah are these: circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or my wrath, the wrath of God, will flare up and burn like fire because of the evil you have done, burn with no one to quench it. To let the Holy Spirit do the circumcision of our heart is to put our confidence in the faithfulness of God, and not in our works or our actions. The word that Paul uses when he writes in Greek is pistis. And pistis means faith, belief, trust, and resilience on Christ. Not on ourselves, not on the things that we do. So we grow in faith through the abundant grace that God offers us. And that grace is available in the person of Jesus Christ. Nadia Bolz-Weber grew up in a fundamentalist Christian home and often felt that she didn't belong. Growing up, she faced relentless dissatisfaction and felt like an outsider. She struggled as a young adult with addiction, feeling isolated, broken, and ashamed. Yet, through the grace of God, she found sobriety, meaning, and a renewed purpose. She didn't become perfect, but she came to deeply believe and understand that her actual self, with all its flaws, is the self that God loves. Against all odds, Nadia became a pastor for the Lutheran Church. Several years ago, during a gathering that Pastor Mike just told me, and Meredith was present in that gathering, they told me that it was 35,000 youth at that conference. And she shared a powerful message to those students that were present. She shared her experience as a broken teenager. And her words really speak to what grace means in our contemporary life. So this is what she says. If your life totally sucks right now, just know that your current reality is not your ultimate reality. The self God loves is your actual self, not your ideal self. And there is a word for this: grace. So powerful. Nadia's ministry is rooted in grace, welcoming everyone, saints and sinners alike. That is the name of the church, a house for saints and sinners. That shows that true transformation comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, from putting our confidence in Christ and letting the Holy Spirit do the rest. This is also what we're doing here in Crossroads. We welcome everyone with love, with grace. We are showing that we are the circumcision, that we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us so that God can do what God does. Paul says, "It is not that I have already reached this goal, or I have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it, because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose." John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, talks about something that is extremely amazing, which is holiness of heart and mind, which really means loving God fully and loving people deeply, not just of what we do, but in how we think, feel, and live. So holiness of mind and heart is a journey, a constant work in ourselves, a daily renewal, and a growth in our faith. Friends, growing in holiness is having our hearts change. It isn't about being perfect. It's about feeling, letting the love of God fill in our lives until there is no more space in our heart but love, so that we can share with the world and we can witness the love of Jesus. So you might be thinking, and how we do that? How can we start putting our faith in Christ, and letting the Holy Spirit work on us. So you have a commitment card that I don't have right now with me, but you have it. Do you have it? Take it out. Perfect. Some of you just show it. Take it out, because we are going to check boxes. Wait, did I say that we're not checking boxes? We are not. But we are offering a space in which we can grow and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. So in that commitment card, the first thing that I'm inviting you, that I suggest you to start doing, is daily prayer. We are going to commit to spend 5 days, 5 minutes, sorry. Yes, 5 days and more. 5 minutes a day praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to come and transform us and give us faith and compassion, compassion for ourselves, compassion for the world. The second thing that I suggest, keep a daily gratitude journal. Write 3 things that you are grateful for. Reflect on 1 thing that you felt you missed the mark. And write 1 thing that you can do the next day to show the love of God to the world. And the third thing is seek community. We are not designed to be isolated. We are designed to be in community, to do this together. So we need people who make us accountable of what we are willing to do, and so that we can keep on growing in our faith journey. Perhaps you can join a small group or one of the connecting groups that we have here at Crossroads. So friends, this is a journey, a process. Each day we can become less like ourselves and more like Jesus. Are you ready to be transformed? Are you? If you are ready to be transformed, do not only check that box in that paper, but be committed to be like Jesus in this world. Let your heart to be circumcised, and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. You're gonna have a moment to reflect. Meredith is gonna play some music. So that moment is to allow you to commit, deeply commit, to take that step. Then we're going to receive the sacrament of communion. And when you come to receive the sacrament, I invite you to drop those cards on those baskets. You are committing to yourself. But most importantly, you're committing to transform the world, because you are being those people who show Christ in the world. Amen? Amen. Amen.